Back in session tomorrow at noon?
Yes, I am. I am in Waterloo this morning, and I will be driving up to Springfield this afternoon. So, yep, we're going to be in session basically every week from here until the end of May. And you know, God willing, we can get our work taken care of and have a budget, and not have to have any of these special session shenanigans like we had last year.
Where is the budget process at right now?
Well, right now, I have not seen too much out of the Senate majority in terms of concrete proposals. They have had some appropriation hearings, but remember back in January, the governor unveiled his budget proposal, which he proposed a budget that was balanced, which was something we haven't had here in Illinois, and I think going on like 15 years now, so that was a positive. And I really think, because I haven't seen any lines in the sand drawn by leadership, you know, and when I'm talking about leadership, I'm talking about the four legislative leaders, Brady, Durkin, Madigan, and Cullerton, and then the governor. I haven't seen any lines in the sand that have been drawn that, in my opinion, would prevent us from being able to have a budget. I think we can compromise, and I am optimistic that we are going to have a budget this year.
A lot of talk last week about making sure that progressive taxes don't become part of the plan here in the state of Illinois.
Well, that's very frustrating to me that, you know, we had this huge tax increase and the dust didn't even settle on that, and some people are already talking about new taxes. The progressive tax has been something that's been filed by a Democratic representative, but that's not something that I have seen either Speaker Madigan or Senate President Cullerton draw a line in the sand and say we have to have that. Now, J.B. Pritzker has been talking up a progressive tax, and that, you know, that to me is something that is a legitimate campaign issue, where Governor Rauner and J.B. Pritzker, they have starkly different visions for the state of Illinois, and one of the things, you know, that their visions diverge on is this progressive income tax.
And a gas tax increase, too?
I think the gas tax, I've also seen that Mr. Pritzker has talked about wanting to do, he wants to resurrect Senate President Cullerton's proposal where we put a black box in everybody's vehicle and tax you by the miles that you drive, something that I think would be just a ridiculously bad idea. It would disproportionately burden those of us here in southern Illinois that do a lot of driving, plus it's an invasion of privacy, and you know that proposal entailed a massive new bureaucracy within the Illinois Attorney General's office to implement this. That coming at a time when government is too big in Illinois already, and we need to be rolling back the size of government. So, you know, this is something where, you know, I want to give JB some props. You know, he's driving around in a van that says "Think Big" on the side of it, and that's truth in advertising right there. You know, because you know JB Pritzker does stand for big government and big taxes. So, you know, kudos to him. He's telling the truth.
Veto override in the Senate over the governor's veto of gun store legislation. That's being talked about now. They're finding out whether they've got the votes.
That's going to wind up being really close. When that was passed, it only was passed with 30 votes, which was the minimum. And they need 36 votes to override the governor's veto. However, you know, there were some senators that were not there and did not vote. There are some suburban Republican legislators that are kind of making some pro-gun control noises. So I think that's going to wind up being a very, very close vote in the Senate. If I had to make a prediction, I would predict that they're not going to be able to override the governor's veto, but I think it's something that's going to wind up being close.
And, of course, the controversy on the local Carbondale level and then Edwardsville, and that is the proposed legislation to separate the two campuses. They'd have the Board of Trustees would be dissolved. They would create two Board of Trustees, one for C, one for E. Because this has happened, cyclical, we'll call it. Every so many years I see this come out of Jay Hoffman's office, and we're here again. Your thoughts?
Well, I saw that at the end of last week that Representative Hoffman has, as you pointed out, once again filed legislation to separate the Edwardsville and Carbondale campuses of Southern Illinois University. Now, one of the things that I've learned in life, and this has been a hard lesson, but I've learned it, is that you generally don't make your best decisions when you're angry. And, you know, there's a lot of anger right now over the failed attempt to shift over $5 million from Carbondale to Edwardsville, and that was something that I thought that I was opposed to, and in fact, I fired one of my silver bullets with the governor to get Dean Britton appointed to the Board of Trustees. A lot of other Southern Illinois legislators did as well, but I had thought the original proposal to move the $5 million, I thought it was premature. There had been some agreements made that it was going to be studied before it was implemented. The timing was bad, and I thought it just it really looked bad to try to have that proposal pushed through when we did not have a full Board of Trustees seated. So that's why I did fire one of my silver bullets. I made a direct ask of the governor to appoint Tom Britton to the Board of Trustees. I'm glad he did that, and I'm glad that proposal was voted down. But there is a lot of angst, hate, and discontent over that up at Edwardsville, and I think this really goes back to when President Dunn had the Edwardsville campus loan the Carbondale campus $30 million so that they could survive the impasse. There was a lot of hard feelings over that, and I think this plan to transfer $5 million, that was a direct result of that loan that had been given last year. So, it did not surprise me that Representative Hoffman filed that bill. That's something that I think, we need to, if we're going to look at that, it needs to happen when people's tempers have cooled down, and it needs to be given some thorough evaluation. I personally, right now, do not think that it's a good idea to split the two campuses. I think the two campuses are stronger when they are part of the same system.
Is it inevitable that we're going to see at least the phase one shift of money from C to E?
I don't know that it's inevitable that you can say that we're going to have a certain amount of money that's going to shift. I think it makes sense to me that when enrollments are changing, that you do need to look at the funding ratio again. To me, that's just, that's reflective of reality. But if you're going to do that, you need to do it in an impartial manner. You need to do it where there's going to be an outside study where everybody can agree with the parameters and support it. Because I think you had Chancellor Montemagno on last week, and he talked about you can't just say, okay, it costs the same amount to educate a history major as it does an engineering or an avionics major. The costs are not the same. Students are not fungible. Different types of education cost different amounts of money. So it's not something so simple where you can say, okay, well, the enrollments are the same, therefore it needs to be a 50-50 split. It's something that needs to be looked at and it needs to be studied. But I do think it would be, at this point, I think it would be a mistake to separate the two systems. And one of the reasons I believe that is I think that if we have a combined system, we are more effective in being able to lobby for state resources. And make no mistake about it, it's going to be a much more challenging environment for higher education in the years upcoming. The number of Illinois high school graduates are expected to drop pretty steeply beginning in 2025. The amount of international students that are coming to the United States as a whole is way down. So we've got that challenging factor. You also have the U of I system saying that they're planning on expanding from 83,000 students up to 100,000 students. What's that going to do to our numbers in SIU? So that's all stuff that needs to be looked at. And there's a real-world example that I can give you right as we speak of, how I think it's an advantage to have our system, our universities combined. Right now, as we speak, Governor Rauner is on a trade mission to Europe, and he does not have anybody representing the SIU system on that trade mission with him. Well, it's a lot easier for me to voice my displeasure and say, look, you have left out, any representation from a university system that has 30,000 students in it. It's a lot easier for me to make that argument, than it is saying, well, we have, each regional university ought to have a certain amount. No, we need a combined system, and that's something that, while we we've been arguing about this funding transfer, we missed the boat in terms of making sure that we had somebody representing the SIU system on that trade delegation to Europe.
If you know, right now, if it was not an election year, would there be a move in the Senate to take a vote to not responding to the president's call to use the National Guard, if it's given? It's not been given, no insinuation that it would, on four states. But isn't that a reflection?
My frustration has been that we've done a lot of political theater as opposed to doing stuff that's going to solve our problems in Illinois. You know, I think a lot of the gun control legislation that we've seen has been political theater. It's not going to make our students safer. I think this resolution about telling the president that, you know, that we shouldn't saying that we should not support the president's request to use our National Guard troops, I do think that's political theater, and I think it's somewhat unprecedented that we would take a vote trying to preemptively say, before we even know what the request was or the mission parameters or anything, that Illinois would say no. You know, that's political theater. That's not responsible governance.
House movement over there to ensure that all future state jobs go to Sangamon County. They're talking about 400 right now. They say this move is about making a point, among other things, that Springfield's the capital.
Well, I agree that I get very frustrated just when the Senate leadership decides to hold hearings in Chicago as opposed to Springfield. Springfield is the capital of Illinois. I do think sometimes our Chicago friends tend to forget that, but I'm not sure that I would support legislation saying that jobs have to go to a certain place. I want our government to work efficiently. I want our government to be able to place jobs where the state of Illinois can get the best value for our dollars. That's what I'm concerned about. But I do share the overall goal of saying that, you know what, we need to stop, you know, treating Chicago like the capital. It's not. Springfield is the capital of Illinois.
LGBT history, required teaching K through 12, another piece of legislation that was prominent.
Yes, well, I think that piece of legislation, and I have not had a chance to vote on it yet, it has not reached the Senate floor, but I think that piece of legislation is a really bad idea, and I think that for two reasons. First of all, it takes away the authority of local school boards. I think I've told you before, I think that our local school board elections are, the most important elections that we vote on. If not the most important, one of the most important elections, because these are the individuals that are deciding how our kids are educated. And one of the things that is good about that is local school board elections are, those school board members are directly accountable to the voters. I see my school board members in the grocery stores, and I can ask them, hey, what's going on with this? If somebody doesn't like the way their local school districts are handling things, they can run for school board themselves. It's not that difficult to get the signatures and get on the ballot. So I think our local, I think the officials that are making decisions about what our kids are taught in school, they need to be accountable to us, the parents that are, that live right next to them. So, this bill that we have that would advocate that certain teaching of history, what we'd be doing is we'd be outsourcing the decisions of how our children are educated to politicians and bureaucrats in Springfield instead of the local school boards, teachers, and superintendents. So I think that bill is a really bad idea. I will be a no on it. I also think it's a bad idea because, to me, it sends a message to families whose religion teaches that homosexual conduct is wrong, that they are not welcome in our Illinois public schools. So I think that's one of the worst bills that I've heard of in Springfield, and I'll be voting no on that one.
I talked earlier this morning with Ted Dabrowski from Wire Points, a relatively new organization, that claims they want to draw the line between business and government. And Ted this morning was talking about garnishing or intercepting tax revenues for the city of Harvey, because Harvey had not made the required pension payments to its police department. So the comptroller does not return the tax money. It goes to the pensions. Their police department was supposed to get, I think it was around $1.7 million. They got $110,000. 40 people had to be let go. And there's a law on the books that says the state can intercept your tax monies for your municipality if you've not hit the marks for your pensions. In a state that doesn't make pension payments, they're requiring other people to do it, and they'll hold your money if you don't. This is an interesting item. Ted, in his article, referred to it as the first domino, and that more cities will follow.
Well, this is, it brings up a number of issues. One is the amount of taxing bodies and municipalities that we have in Illinois. It also brings up, just the hypocrisy of politicians in Springfield and a government that will hold you accountable, whether it's you, the taxpayer, or you, the local municipality. They like to hold others accountable for stuff that they're not willing to do themselves. The reality is we're in this pension mess in Illinois because the politicians in Springfield stole from the pension funds. That's why we're in this mess. It's not because the pensions are overly generous. Other states have very generous pension systems, and they are solvent. It all boomerangs back to the fact that we have to have more economic growth if we're going to be able to solve any of these challenges that we're facing, and that kind of takes us full circle back to what we talked about at the very beginning of this interview. I'm so frustrated because all we seem to talk about in Illinois is how we can raise taxes, how we have new creative ways to tax people, whether it's putting black boxes in vehicles, whether it's coming up with this progressive income tax. We had a massive new tax increase last year. The dust has not even settled on that, and all we're doing is talking about taxes. What we need to be talking about is how we are going to have economic growth. We need to be talking about what we can do to change the workers' compensation laws in Illinois. We need to be talking about, why the heck can't we give Cindy Bunch and the folks at Walker's Bluff an opportunity to create some revenue and create some jobs down there? Instead, it's just, more of the same. And, people get very frustrated, and I certainly empathize with that.
Illinois, the California of the Midwest.
That just doesn't sound good. That just doesn't sound good at all. But I'll tell you what, as somebody that lived in California, I would much rather live in Illinois just because, there are a lot of trees and a lot of green out here. California, too many people and not enough trees.
Right, and a lot of homelessness and a lot of debt and everything else that goes along with it, although they're digging themselves out after some windfall taxes were put in place. But then again, you see what's happening, all right? If you consider California the lead of that curve and that story that's in front of us, and the fact that, they have really, I wonder if this is not becoming an increasingly legitimate prospect that that state will be broken into three sections.
No, that would be something. It would be interesting to see how that plays out. But one of the things that that we have to remember in Illinois is that even though we get really frustrated, that we get angry about stuff, what I talk with people about is, okay, I understand that you're angry. I understand that you're really frustrated about the fact that we're not getting anything done. What is the plan? What are we going to do to change things? Because anger is not a plan. Frustration is not a plan. Hope is not a plan. But whatever plan we have, whether it's to try to undo this, HB 40 and that terrible anti-life legislation, any plan that we have does not involve sitting out the next election. We have to, if you think that we're going to solve any of the problems that we face in Illinois, we don't solve our problems by saying, I'm done with this, I'm checking out. We have to remain involved. We have to be involved in this next election. We can't just check out of the political process.
All right. But, I think a lot of people have, Paul. And, it's interesting because when you said the P word, got to have a plan, people do have a plan. It's leave.
I think if you took a poll and asked everybody in Illinois, do you know somebody who is planning to leave our state, whether it's you yourself or whether it's a relative or a close friend, I think darn near 100% would say yes, which is unfortunate because we do have we have a lot of talent and resources here. The stuff that is right with Illinois is capable of solving the problems that we have. But, you know, we have to, as angry as we are, we have to look at the choices that are going to be presented to us in this next election, because there is going to be a very stark choice about, you know, what direction we want our state to take. You know, do we want a state that's going to, you know, where we try to grow our way to prosperity through economic growth, or do we want to try to tax our way to prosperity and create, you know, more and bigger units of government? So there is going to be a stark choice, and I don't think that it's, you know, I don't think that the time is right to give up on Illinois, because we still have enough going for us that we can solve our problems.